Welcome to Red Sox Digest, the only show where pain, sarcasm, and a dash of hope collide nightly like a Trevor Story strikeout. We cover every loss, every meltdown, and yes, even the rare win with brutally honest takes and zero front office fluff. Subscribe today at RedSoxDigest.com or risk being left out in the cold like a home game in April. And now, here's the crew at Red Sox Digest.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of Red Sox Digest Live. I'm your host, Jim Delfino, and I'm joined together with my co-host, Thayer Doyle and Curry Mitchell. The Boston Red Sox lost 2 out of 3 to the Toronto Blue Jays and now sit at 41-44 for their record on the season. And we're here to break everything down. If you've got a take or a comment, please feel free to drop it in the chat. Thayer, let's start with you. What are your reactions to this weekend series?
I'm content. I understand where we're at now. The ownership is not interested in winning. They're happy with being mediocre. When we start a lineup that includes Gonzalez, Sogard, and Eaton in a must-win game and an important series, it doesn't tell me a whole lot. When they're going to start Walker Buehler, even though his last number of outings have been terrible, and you have your Crochet ready to go on what would be his regular day of rest. Nope, let's push him back. Let him pitch against the Reds. They're not interested in winning, so they're just going to continue doing what we're doing, and that's what we see. Bad base running. We have squanders up and down the board. Even yesterday when they scored a lot of runs, they had an opportunity to score even more, and that's what we're seeing from this team.
Curry, your reactions.
The only bright spot was the second game. First game, they looked terrible. Today, it started off like they were going to have a good game, and then they just completely jumped off a cliff. Buehler walking in runs. It was just a terrible outing. And I don't know. I think Giolito and Crochet have found it. Now, Bayo's looking like he's trending upwards. I think Buehler is really the odd man out. I think when Kyle Harrison does come up, He will pretty much push Buehler out. And then at that point, do you DFA him, which I think this might be the route they go, or try to trade him? Either way, I think Buehler is near the end of his Red Sox tenure.
Yeah, that's some good points. I don't necessarily know you could trade him unless there's another team that really feels that they can unlatch something. And of course, let's not forget that we have the best pitching coach in the history of baseball in Andrew Bailey. So if he can't fix him, then how could anybody else fix him? As far as DFAing him, I don't know if the Red Sox are going to just want to eat that money. I have a feeling that they might do a phantom injury again, get him back on the IL and kind of Yoshida him and have him just become a AAA starter for the rest of the season. I don't see how you could keep him in this rotation any longer. Obviously, you lost 5-3. He was responsible for 4 earned runs. And again, you know, they were teeing off on him in the first inning. Thayer, go ahead.
Sort of what we were talking about, this idea of, you know, starting off with the strikeout in the first inning. And then, you know, we jokingly were talking about at least they were solo home runs because he wasn't walking people. Had a decent second and third inning. And after the last start where he had that atrocious first inning, they talked about how he sort of found it in the next couple innings. And they thought maybe he had worked it out. He pitched well into the second and the third. And then you have 2 quick outs. You have the base hit that could be an error, that might not be an error. And then suddenly you're dealing with, you know, him walking people, walking in runs. It just became atrocious. And that's what they're getting. And then offensively, they just have no approach. This inability to score runs when they need to. And even in the last inning, if you look at it, after 2 outs, what does Gonzalez do? He swings at the first pitch. You're down 2 runs and he's swinging at the first pitch.
Yeah, that's what happens when you have a team full of guys that are backups. I've said it 1,000 times. I do want to switch gears a little bit, talk a little bit about last night's game, then we'll go back to tonight's game and then preview the Cincinnati Reds series. But getting to a positive note, which is something I haven't been able to do much with this Red Sox team this season, a 15-1 ball game. Obviously, it was started by Lucas Giolito. On the last podcast, I had said that there was no way they were going to win this game. I'll happily take the L on that. But again, you know, if you were a betting man, I think anybody would go with Chris Bassett before they would go with Lucas Giolito. But He looked great. 7 innings, 6 hits, 1 walk, 1 run, no earned runs, 5 strikeouts. Curry, what are you seeing in Giolito? Do you think we can count on him for the rest of the season, or is this just a diamond in the rough right now?
Well, I think all year you saw that one start that he's dominant, and then the next start he was not. Then it goes kept going that 1-1. I think he had that really bad start where he just got hammered. And then he pretty much just said, screw this, I'm going to figure this out. And ever since then, he has just trended dominance. I think he's given the last 4 games, he's given up like 3 runs. Elite pitching. And he's the number two that a lot of people thought when we signed him 2 years ago, whatever it was, what we were possibly going to get. And just for the record, I did pick Giolito over Bassett the other day. Gonna throw that out there. But Giolito, he's commanding that fastball, and it's making everything else look better. And that's the problem. Crochet commands the fastball, makes everything else look better. Bayo is starting to slowly trend that way, where he's starting to command the fastball, makes everything look better. Buehler is not. He has no command of the fastball, and that's why he keeps trending downward. But like I said, I think Giolito is our number two right now, and I think he's going to trend that way and continue. He might have a bad start here and there, but I think for the most part, the rest of the year, we're going to get a pretty good starter.
Yeah, I mean, Thera, what's your reactions? Do you think we can trust Giolito for the rest of this season?
I think we're going to be able to trust him to be a above-average pitcher. Like Curry's saying, he's working off the fastball. He's a true professional. We saw that yesterday. Even though he had a big lead, he wasn't nibbling. He wasn't working to the corners. He was just going at guys, and that's the key. He has the ability to pitch ahead, and that makes all the difference in Major League Baseball. When you're pitching from behind, like we saw with Buehler, you're in a lot of trouble. When you're pitching ahead, it's a whole different game.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I also think, too, has he been kind of not going with Andrew Bailey's and Craig Breslow's spin tactics? It seems like he's throwing more fastballs, and he's getting a little bit more consistent in the upper, mid to upper 90s. It seems like there maybe he's not spinning the ball as much as he did before. Is it just me, or have you guys seen that as well?
I think to Curry's point, he's working the fastball more often. He's working towards it early in the counts. I think he's getting healthier. He's coming off of an injury, and it's taking him a while to develop his arm strength. And I think the confidence goes along with it. That's an important part for him.
Yeah, totally agree. Switching gears a little bit, Roman Anthony was 3-for-6 yesterday. So 3 hits, a 2 runs scored. Today, 2 hits and 4 at-bats. He did have a strikeout. But that is 5 hits in 2 games. I know it was a slugfest yesterday, but what are you seeing from Roman Anthony that we didn't see maybe even last week? Anything that you've noticed, or is he just getting more comfortable, being in the majors?
Or you want to take that one?
Sure, both. Yeah, I think it's a mixture of both, because if you looked, even when he wasn't getting hits, he was making solid contact. He was just getting very unlucky where they were going. So now you're seeing that same solid contact, but he's putting it, he's elevating a little bit better. This is what he did in AAA. We might not see how elite he's going to be this year, but I think by next year, we could be seeing a 30 plus home run guy, 80 plus RBIs. I think he has that ability to just be what Red Sox fans want him to be. But with that being said, he's still young. He still, needs to, I think, like that ground ball, he barely got it out. And I think he's still kind of a little late on some of the pitches. But once he finds the timing, even better, I think we'll see more and more of this.
Curry, what are you seeing from Roman Anthony that you like or don't like?
I agree with Curry. I've enjoyed watching his plate discipline. He takes pitches. He's not afraid to get deep into counts. I also like that he allows the ball to get deep. The base hit he had the other day down the third baseline, he was beaten by the fastball, but it didn't overmatch. It didn't really completely overpower him. He was able to stay within it, get his hands inside, and that doesn't frighten him, which is important. I think offensively, he's a very confident player. I heard something about of the last 8 or so batted balls off the bat, he had plus 100 exit velocity. So he's hitting the ball hard. He's hitting ground balls, which I think is a benefit. I know that they were talking a couple of weeks ago before they brought him out up that they wanted to improve his ground ball ratio because he hits too many ground balls. Personally, I'm looking for that. I'm done with the launch angle. I want him to hit the ball and make sure he's making solid contact, and that's what he's doing. And like Curry said, it's just bad luck. You know, you hit a ball 105 miles off the bat, and it's right at the second baseman. Those are going to start to even out.
Yeah, I agree with both of you. I think the only thing that I'm concerned with to any degree with him is that I want him to swing the bat. I don't want, you know, he doesn't need to be a walk piece. He doesn't need to try to get on base just via the walk. I worry about the Tristan Casas effect. You know, when Casas came up, he's taking a lot of pitches. He's, you know, kind of patting himself on the back for walking in some situations and really screaming at himself when he does that, as we saw last year. But I want him to swing the bat. He's here to be what we assume is a prolific 30 home run, 100 RBI offensive threat, and potentially a perennial all-star. So I just want to see a little bit more swinging and a little bit less working the count, obviously, in certain situations. But he's here to hit, and I think that's what we got to really hope for. So I think one of the things that really ticks me off about this weekend series is that they lost 2 out of 3. I really thought that they were going to lose the Bassett game. I wasn't quite sure about today, but it really annoys me when we get this combination of high scoring or we get good pitching and we can't score. This is the problem of the roller coaster of this season with the Boston Red Sox. And obviously it shows that they can become an offensive threat. They had 18 hits last night, 14 RBIs. They can score 15 runs. They just can't seem to carry that same load from game to game. Is it mixing up the lineup too much? Is that the problem that we're seeing? Or is it just, bad luck? Thayer, what do you think is the, how do you fix this?
You don't. The problem isn't that they're mixing up the lineup. The problem isn't bad luck. The problem is you're dealing with 4A players. You're dealing with Sogard. You have Eaton in the lineup. You know, you have Gonzalez playing. I like Ref Snyder, but he was your DH today. When you're sort of talking about Toro being, you know, I was listening to the game today, and they brought in Toro to pinch hit late in the game, and they're talking about, here's your big bullet that you're firing. Like, if that's your bullet to fire, that's what's going on. Today's run total was more about Bassett not being on than the Red Sox doing anything. They're a bunch of kids, and when kids are playing, they have to deal with a lot of the sort of up and down of the game. And it's hitting is contagious. They got going early yesterday, and it just happened. And today they didn't get going, really. They had the pesky pole home run, and they really had to sort of scrape and claw for their runs. And we've been talking about this for years. They cannot afford squanders. They cannot afford, from the pitching standpoint, walks and errors, and that's what they got. They have opportunities. They have to drive in the runs without getting hits, and they are not good enough to do it, especially after you trade your best hitter.
Curry, your reaction. Do you think this is something that is just going to be what we see for the rest of the season, or can they get more consistent?
I think with once we get Bregman back and Myers going to come back from his whatever leave it was, I think you'll kind of get to see what the lineup's going to be. I think Christian Campbell will be coming back up probably mid-July. I think he'll be at first base. So I think your infield will be Campbell first, Myers second, Story at short, and Bregman third. And then your outfield will be Abreu, Rafaela, and Anthony. I think Duran's getting traded. I really do. And that's not a bad-looking lineup. I think right now, with Bregman being out, Meyer being out, Campbell needs to work on some stuff. We're stuck with these eight players for right now, and I think we will see a better lineup in the coming weeks, but it's going to be a tough stretch of baseball with these guys constantly in the rotation every single day. You can get away with one of them, but having three of them in the lineup, dude, it's been tough. It's just, I don't know what we could do until the injuries get, you know, back.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of good points there, and you kind of brought up the trade deadline. Obviously, we are 30 days away from that at this point, roughly. And, you know, I said on the last podcast that I had felt that the Red Sox are not going to do anything at all. If they do, it might be a you know, a middling reliever or a middling other platoon guy, because I think they're going to try to sell us as fans on the fact that Bregman is coming back, Yoshida is coming back, Justin Slayton is coming back, Jordan Hicks is going to be brought up, and maybe even Harrison. So they're going to be spinning all this. The question I have for both of you tonight is, Craig Breslow was on this afternoon's broadcast with Dave O'Brien. And of course, obviously you need a degree at Yale to understand one thing he said. But, with that being said, he did kind of mention that they want to build this team, that they want to, that getting rid of the money from Rafael Devers does not, stop them from wanting to spend the money elsewhere. Let me get this. You start first. Do you think we're going to see any potential move or something that's more like a blockbuster Dave Dombrowski, Theo Epstein type move, or is it going to just be a bunch of nothing?
I think it's going to be a bunch of nothing. I don't believe a word that they're saying. The Devers trade in and of itself was clearly a money dump. That's all they were doing for it. And in the meantime, it's been a week and they've struggled and they've done nothing. They haven't talked about anything. They haven't tried to do anything. Duran has to be traded before too long. I worry that they're going to ruin Duran's trade value by keeping him here until the deadline, because he self-admittedly said he's pressing. He's pressing, and he's not going to be successful when he does that. So that's only going to hurt his value. I think they are going to simply say, as they have in the past, let's wait for the trade deadline. Well, what have we seen since the trade? They've won two games. I think we're going to see their sort of standings plummet, and they're going to say, well, it's not worth doing anything this year. Let's work for 2026. The moves you're going to see are going to be things that jettison professional players. The Chapmans are going to go. The Durans are going to go. And I wouldn't be surprised if Ref Snyder goes. And they're going to bring back guys that are potential. Nothing that's going to be of any note that's going to help the 2025 Boston Red Sox. As I said at the beginning, I'm content. I know where they stand now. They are not interested in winning this season. So let's see what goes on next year. And I hope the kids develop a little bit.
What do you think about the trades, potential trade options?
Well, I think Durant's going to be traded. I lean towards him being traded to the Phillies. For what? I don't know. I honestly don't know what the Phillies are willing to give up. Now, a name that caught my attention, I heard a rumor that he might be moving, is Josh Naylor. For the Diamondbacks, it will fix our first base problem. He does have power. And then you can do like a platoon with him and Campbell, where Campbell plays first base, but Naylor's your everyday first baseman. And then, you have your DH where you swap people around for the DH. I don't know if that's going to happen, but it's just something I, read somewhere. For the most part, I think it all depends on where we're at about a week out. Bregman should come back about right after the All-Star break. And if he comes back and then everything starts clicking, they go on a good win streak, I think you'll see them buy, in a sense that they'll get a decent reliever, maybe a high leverage reliever, and they might even pick up something else here and there. But if they still stick to this trend that they're going down, they've lost, six of the last seven, I think you're going to see them sell. I think you're going to see.
Love Red Sox Digest? And stop freeloading and subscribe already. Free subscribers get recaps, rants, and the occasional emotional breakdown. Just like Craig Breslow with the trade deadline. Upgrade to a paid subscription and unlock the full archive. Subscriber-only game breakdowns, behind-the-scenes audio rants, exclusive mailbag Q&As, plus live chat and post-game streams where we scream into the void together. And if you're a true sicko, become a founding member and we'll put you on the podcast. That's right, a guest appearance on Red Sox Digest. Hit subscribe. It's cheaper than Fenway beer and way more satisfying.
See them sell Chapman, Duran, and then I think they won't tell you. We're selling. But I think they'll get rid of money off the books, get under the little extra tax, and save their money for next season and do nothing. Because you're not going to get Kyle Tucker, and he's like the biggest one in the free agency class right now, because you don't need Kyle Tucker. I mean, it would be nice, but you already have this, outfield that's full of people. Are you going to add another outfielder? Makes no sense. If they do it, I'll be happy, but that means either Rafael or Abreu's gone. They won't be able to keep them if you bring in Tucker. But yeah, I think it all depends on what the next 2 weeks is. I hope we go on this win streak. The Reds, that should be theoretically an easily win series, but I don't know, man. I'm leaning towards them selling. Just how they're looking right now. They look so lost. It's kind of pathetic.
A couple points I wanted to make on a couple of your takes is regarding Josh Naylor. I don't feel very strong or confident that that would be a move that they would make, only from the standpoint as he's left-handed, right? So, you know, you're going to bring another left-handed bat into this lineup. When you're getting Yoshida back, you know, you're going to have you know, Abreu in your lineup. I mean, maybe if you move Duran because it's one less, but I just think that they probably want to get a little bit more right-handed because, you know, they've got all these lefties. And then when you get Meyer back and you have Anthony, I have a hard time seeing that move. The other thing with Kyle Tucker, he's an unbelievable talent, but based on what you saw this year with moving Rafael Devers, there stands to be little to no chance in my mind that they would even offer him a contract, because why would they spend $400 or $500 million? You look to see what Vladimir Guerrero just got. You know, you had a guy on your team that could hit you 30 home runs and drive in 100 RBIs and hit you 30 to 40 doubles every season. And for the most part, it's been healthy. And he's been on your team and he's been here since he's 16 years old and you let him go. So I just don't understand why they would even bring in a guy like that and pay $200 million more, you know, than they would have with their own guy. And if I recall, Kyle Tucker's left-handed as well. So it just doesn't seem like a good match. Getting back to Duran for just a brief moment, he led the league with plate appearances last year with 735. He had 671 at-bats, 8 doubles, 14 triples, 21 home runs. Currently, he is leading the league in at plate appearances at 382. He has 20 doubles, again, 48 last year. So he's kind of on that same pace for doubles. Has 8 triples, had 14 last year. He is leading the league in triples this season. So he's kind of on pace there. We're seeing some fall off is obviously with the home runs. He's on pace for 10 this season. He had 21 last year. I don't see that being a probability that he's going to match that total. 38 RBIs. He had 75 last year. I think there's a chance there that he could become close to that number again. Stolen bases, he had 34. He's got 15 this season. So he's pretty close there. The problem is the slugging is about 100 points down. And that's where you're seeing him start to show signs of decline from last year. On base percentage is down 30 points. For a leadoff guy with an OBP of 310, it's not great. You know, it doesn't jump off the page. And so this has always been the problem with Duran. He's de facto leadoff guy, but he's not really the best leadoff guy that you could probably have on any given team. It's just that he's got speed. He's left-handed. So you throw him in the leadoff spot. But, you know, those other intangible numbers, the point I'm saying is that he's not that far off from what he did last year. He definitely has a decline, but I think you can still get something. I don't know if it's going to be great, but I think you can get something maybe to build on and a piece for him. Your reactions there.
He's absolutely the guy that has to go, whether it's for long-term talent or short-term talent. They need to trade him to open up spots in their outfield, and he is an impact player. He is a guy that can cause extreme havoc. I think he's a player that in the right situation, when he's comfortable and he's feeling as he's not the main go-to guy, because last year he wasn't the main go-to guy. He played beautifully and played wonderfully, but he wasn't the one that they relied on. He just sort of did it. If he gets to a spot like Philadelphia, if he can get to Philly, good gracious, with the guys that they have behind him, he would just be an absolute horror show for the National League East. To have Turner hitting behind him, and then Schwarber, and then you have Bohm, and then you have Harper when he comes back, and Castellanos, that lineup would be devastating.
Murder. Yep, it would be a murderous lineup. Curry, your reaction on Duran?
Yeah, I think last year he was great. Honestly, if we had a smart front office, they would have traded him during the offseason. I mean, let's be real. He was at the highest of highs, the all-star MVP, you know, led league in triples, dominant speed. He was good in the outfield. Everything looked an upward spiral for him. You knew you had all these outfielders. You knew that his trade value was at all the highest it's going to be. And you guys are like, Roman Anthony's not ready, even though he was. He could have easily been on this opening day roster. You trade him at the beginning of the year. You could have gotten pretty much almost anything for him from certain teams. Yeah, no, that was the bonehead mistake by Breslow, which is, you know, pattern. Now, break it down now, his trade value is low because he's really not hitting. Yes, he has speed, but you're starting to see him getting caught on the bases more often. His defense has taken, you know, a down tick. His can't get on base, constantly. He's striking out at a high level. You know, so you'll get something. There will be teams desperate enough at the trade deadline that you could get something of value for him, whether it be a high leverage reliever or, you know, a good right-handed bat. You'll get something, but you could have gotten that times 10 in the offseason. So it's just going to make you look like an idiot, which everybody already knows he is. So, yeah, I think Duran's done, but knowing Breslow, he might be like, well, we'll just keep Duran and trade him in the offseason. And then his value goes even lower.
Yeah, if he doesn't really kick it up a notch and come anywhere close to last season, he's not going to have the value that they're going to want. But I would tend to lean towards the fact that if Yoshida is going to be coming back and he's going to be your DH or see some time in the outfield, I think they have to have a move in place for Duran to be traded at that same time, because right now they're rotating Anthony as DH, right field, and so forth. If Yoshida is going to be blocking your DH spot, it's one less opportunity to have Anthony's bat in that lineup. So, and the fact that they're both left-handed again is the biggest problem. So I think you got to see Duran moved around the same time as you have a Yoshida reactivation. It's the only thing that makes sense to me, because I can't see that they would let that go longer than that. I want to switch gears a little bit to the upcoming series starting tomorrow night, at 7 o'clock with the Cincinnati Reds coming to town. So Tito will be back in Fenway Park. He's motivated. The Cincinnati Reds are an interesting team this year. We have Garrett Crochet. He is going against Chase Burns. And then on Tuesday, it's Dick Fitz against Bradley Singer. And then the final game is Bayo against Nick Martinez. All three are right-handed pitchers. Burns is 0-0 with a 5.40 ERA.
And he just made his debut the other day. This is going to be a second start.
Correct. And then Singer is 7-6 with a 4.31. And Nick Martinez is 5-8 with a 4.12. Let's start, Thayer, your reactions to this upcoming series. What are you seeing and what do you think is going
to
happen?
I think they have to win the Crochet start. No question about it. The rookie came in and pitched pretty well in his debut. He's got a lot of firepower. However, I think simply being in Fenway Park and is really his second major league start should be a little bit that's overwhelming for him, hopefully. And then the next two starts, Bayo is improving. I'd like to see it. Richard Fitz, can we get 4 or 5 innings out of him? I'd like to see that. The fact that they are throwing righties, their pitchers aren't anything to really worry about. We should be able to score runs, although Martinez did almost throw a no-no, just his last start out. But I think we should be able to score. The question is, are we going to be able to contain the Reds' offense? Because they are pretty dynamic in and of themselves at time. And you do know that with them coming in with Tito, he has his players' backs and they love him and they will run through brick walls for him. So I have a feeling when they come into Fenway Park, they're going to be playing with a little bit extra motivation.
I totally agree. Curry, your reaction to the upcoming series, what are your take?
There's a good chance, and it's being optimistic, but there's a good chance that we win all three of these games. You got Crochet, who's going to dominate. You get him 3 runs, just 3, and the bullpen doesn't crap their pants, that's a win.
3 runs is asking a lot, though, Curry.
I know. True. But you know the Reds aren't going to get 1, maybe 2. So you get 3 runs, I think they could do it. Now, Dick Fitz. I think when he came back from injury the first time where he looked really bad, they brought him up too soon. His last start was his first start back. He didn't look great, but he did show flashes that he's there. He's not hurting anymore. So what Dick Fitz do we get? Do we get the Dick Fitz who you know, takes his dick out and, you know, mows them down? Or do we get the one who, you know, needs a Pepto-Bismol shake? I think he will have that flashes. I think you'll get 5 out of him, and then that will be your bullpen day. Bayo, if Bayo keeps pitching like he's been pitching against Martinez, all 3 of these pitchers that we're going up against are very beatable. You know, they give up a lot of runs. They give up a lot of hard contact. So this series could be a sweep. Of course, I'm going to say we win 2 out of 3, but I would not be surprised if we sweep them.
Yeah, I know, Curry.
You're the best to come alive.
I know you're the optimistic guy of the bunch. I'd like to be too, but I think, first of all, you got to win the crochet game, as you've both have mentioned. If you don't win that, it's a disaster just to begin with. As far as sweeping, I mean, anything can happen, right? I think the best that you might get is 2 out of 3, but I'm banking on if Crochet throws like he has been and they have enough offense, obviously it's not a rocket science to figure that one out. Yeah, they can win that game. The best I think they're going to do is 2 out of 3. I don't think they're going to be a sweep. I think Francona is going to be very motivated, as Thayer said, to have his players really play hard. But the other thing to consider here is it's really all about, you know, making sure that you neutralize De La Cruz. I mean, he is their best player. He's going to cause havoc on the bases. He's their best power hitter. So you've got to make sure that you keep him off the bases. And if you could do that like you did Aaron Judge, look what happened. You wound up sweeping the Yankees because you neutralized Judge in that entire series, and he still hit a couple home runs off you. But the bottom line is that's how you're going to win 2 out of 3 or take all 3. I did want to just mention a couple of comments that we had here. Dylan had asked, love you guys. How do you think the Sox can turn this one around? Thayer, you made a comment on there too as well. You'd love to say they might be able to focus up and maybe get a little bit more consistent pitching. Hopefully that is something that we will see, and maybe we can get better pitching down the road. I just don't have a lot of faith in, you know, anybody not named Crochet. Foxy Jane 88 says, I'm all over Cora. I can't stand all the excuses our fans make for him. I totally agree with that. I'm not a Cora fan. I've never been a Cora fan ever since he was found to be guilty with the cheating scandal, and the fact that he came back. He's really done almost nothing since he's been here. 2018 team, I think you could have probably hired a paper cutout to manage that team, and it was still won. And in 2021, you know, there was a lot of luck there. Lo and behold, there's basically nobody left from that team now. So there wasn't a lot of desire to keep that group together. And she also writes in and says, need Bregman so bad. He told Rafi to throw his glove in the trash. I like Bregman. He's been very, very good on this team. And I think there's a really good possibility that when the offseason starts, the Red Sox will try to retain him. It's going to cost them a lot because they blew their hand by getting rid of Devers. And now, you know, you put a guy like Bregman in the driver's seat, and they're going to look at John Henry and say, you got to pay up now, and you don't have much of another option. So again, timing is always the issue with this team, and that's what's going to either make or break them. And so far, it's been breaking them. Final comments or reactions from you both. Thayer, go ahead.
Let's try to be positive. Positives from this weekend. Giolito was throwing like a professional. Anthony is putting the bat on the ball, being productive. The bullpen, besides, you know, Kelly, and he got hurt, but they did okay. You know, they were there. The offense is not giving up. They're putting themselves into positions to score runs. Now they just have to kind of get to it. I heard a comment from Duran talking about his at-bats, and I really like this idea, and I sure hope it comes to it, that he gets 600 at-bats a year, and Cora said, some of those are mine, meaning the team. I need the team to take more of those at-bats, and when they do, I need the players to do the right thing. Instead of hitting a pop-up with a man on second and third and one out, hit a ground ball to second base. Stop trying to leave the yard. Just drive in a run. That's all you need to do. Be productive. Do the right thing. Don't drag the bunt. Just drop the bunt down. There's no I in team, just an M and an E, and unfortunately, that's what the Red Sox subscribe to.
Curry, your final reactions for tonight.
Again, Giolito is starting to trend the right way. Let's keep that going. Crochet's crochet. If the bats can pick up like they did yesterday, we can go on a long stretch of good baseball. I think with the Red Series coming up, there are some winnable games, winnable matchups in this series, and you just got to take care of business. You know, put bat on ball, do the basic things. When a guy's on second base, don't try to swing for the fences. Just put it in play. How many times have we seen them put a ball in play that should be a routine ground ball and somebody's scoring a run because of a bad throw? It happens all the time in baseball, especially when we're doing the throwing. Now, I think this next 3 weeks of the season is so important. We have to get some wins or we will be selling. And I think Bregman will sign an extension before the end of the year. I think Bresno has no choice. He knows he has no choice. He has to get this extension done. And then to what you say, Jim, that's what they'll sell the Red Sox fan on at the deadline is, well, look, we extended Bregman. That's our big move of the year at the trade deadline. I think if they can't get no trades done, that's what they'll do. And they'll overpay because they know they have to do something.
Yeah, good points. You know, and to both your points, Curry, your last thing there that you said, you know, you got to take care of business. I mean, if you're going to stay in this race right now, you've got the Reds coming in and then you're facing the Washington Nationals. I mean, you got to take 4 out of 6, 5-1.
And then the Rockies.
And then the Rockies. So, yeah.
So it's 10 days. I wouldn't even say 3 weeks, Curry. I'd say the next 10 days. But this time next, we're sort of Wednesday of next week, coming 2 weeks away. The Reds, the Nationals, and the Rockies, you have to, I'd say 7-3 minimum.
Is it a 4 game against the Rockies or one of those teams?
Maybe it's a 3. So it's probably just, I don't think they have. So, you know, 6-3.
6-3, I think, at the worst.
Yep.
I mean, I think if you're no better than 6-3, you're just not going to gain any ground, number one, and you're just not going to be good enough. So we'll see how that goes. But I'd like to thank you both for being on tonight's episode. Again, thank everybody for watching and joining. Go ahead and please subscribe to our digital product on RedSoxDigest.com. My name is Jim. I've been with Fair and Curry. Have a great night, gentlemen, and go Red Sox.